Up next, Luna talks with Anna Paulina Luna, part of the Gingrich 360 Network.
The crisis at our southern border is only getting worse under the Biden administration. For today's episode, we break down what's really happening at the border with Rep. Gosar, Arizona's 4th Congressional District Representative. We also discuss how President Biden and Democrats' open border agenda is devastating American communities and threatening national security. Plus, Rep. Gosar and myself dig into the Arizona audit and what that means for election integrity in the future. This is Luna Talks with Anna Paulina. Welcome back to this Sunday's episode with Luna Talks, with me, your host, Anna Paulina Luna. As you know, last time we actually were able to share one of the, I think, breaking interviews from James O'Keefe in regards to that undercover footage that Project Veritas was able to get from some of these medical facilities, specifically with the FDA and HHS. And now I saw one representative that decided to come forward and actually partner with Project Veritas and call out HHS, so that's the Health and Human Services Secretary, basically demanding answers about Project Veritas's expose and the non-reporting of COVID-19 effects. And he does an incredible video. And that same representative, it's Representative Gosar, is actually going to be joining me later on in this segment. He is a congressional representative out of Arizona's 4th Congressional District. But I want you to hear what he really says when he sits down and he talks about this, okay? Because he definitely is in the same ideology that I am in regards to this entire thing.
Hello, folks. I'm Congressman Paul Gosar from Arizona. I'm sure by now many of you have seen the shocking Project Veritas video exposing the medical staff at the Phoenix Indian Medical Center, admitting that they do not report side effects, injuries, and illnesses caused by the COVID vaccine. Federal law requires all hospitals and healthcare providers to report adverse vaccine events to the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, also known as VAERS. The system does two things. One, the FDA and CDC can monitor the potential risk to the public health by seeing firsthand these problems. If a vaccine causes too many injuries, the vaccine can be pulled off the market. This has happened before. Secondly, it allows an injured patient and their family the ability to file a claim for compensation with a federal compensation fund. This is a legal right, and it is time-sensitive like all legal claims. After seeing this miscarriage of justice and the medical negligence documented by Project Veritas, I immediately wrote to the Secretary of Health and Human Services to investigate this matter and to remedy the problem immediately. Look, I'm not pro-vaccine. I'm not anti-vaccine. I am pro-patient choice and informed consent. And I am pro-truth and transparency. The American public is not protected by healthcare providers deliberately lying or withholding evidence they don't like. Thank you, Project Veritas, for your work. America thanks you as well.
If only more of Washington, D.C. was that transparent, I think we'd fix a whole lot of issues that we're currently seeing coming out of there. So before I bring him on, I did want to address two other things. We have a huge problem at our southern border. If you haven't witnessed some of the footage, it literally looks like a third world country at our southern border. And I was able to uniquely study the first caravans that we were getting from South America, actually. And I remember going on a segment with Bill O'Reilly, actually, discussing this. And it turns out that there was nonprofits here in the United States that were helping to fund some of these caravans from South America to the U.S.-Mexico border. Mind you, this was at the same time where the media was really using the border crisis and manipulating that entire viewpoint in order to really push the candidacy of Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, because I've done previous episodes. You know how I feel about that. There is no doubt in my mind that an open border hurts people on both sides and ultimately leads to a rise in human trafficking and drug running. But a lot of people didn't realize, and the reason why I even took notice is these caravans had these bags, right? These small green bags. Well, as we studied more onto it, we figured that there was funding, and yes, it was coming out of here in the United States. But I wanted to play this video that I found. This is from a reporter at Real America's Voice, and he actually goes down to the border, okay? And he is able to find footage, and this is from Ben Bergwam. So he's actually going to be joining us on our next episode to talk about this a little bit more. But he finds these pamphlets. And these are binders that have been put together. They're these small spiral binders that are put together. And they literally lay out a plan for people to enter the United States illegally. It is done in a step-by-step process. They had IDs and they were literally brought here. And when you hear this, and I'm actually going to see if I can loop this video in with some of the video promotion for this podcast, because I think it's important for you guys to see. But after seeing this evidence and this stuff was littered all across our southern border, you realize that this is not by mistake. This is not just these people randomly showing up in droves all at once, but this is by design. And I ask you, why would they want to do this? Listen to this video.
This is just a fraction of the documents that we've found in this area. This is where most of the crossings occur. And there's one guy that just showed up. He looks like he's about to go across. We've seen four groups already. And this is about, less than a mile from the camp under the bridge. So as we're being distracted to look down there, this is occurring. All of this trash that you see are dump documents. People coming down here being told by leftist organizations to dump their documents before they go across, so they'll have an easier time of getting across. And that's what this is right here. These are all documents that were dumped. And all of these are from Chile. These are all people that claim to be Haitian, but have lived in Chile for years in many cases. We've got Brazil as well, Brazilian passports. We've got more documentation of families from Chile whose children were born in Chile, lived there before they came over here. And then down here, we've got more Uruguay. A lot of the Cubans, the supposed Cubans, have been given asylum already in Uruguay and protection. Now they're coming up. And then we've got all of these as well, Costa Rica and many parts of Africa as well. Angola, Ghana. But the worst thing we found so far is this document here. This is a pamphlet, a how-to guide on how to travel through Mexico as a refugee, as a migrant. It's put out by the UN, UNHCR, and it basically walks them through step by step, Mexico and your destination in Mexico, your trip, security. And it walks them through bullet points on how to get across the country. Well, they will say that this is to help them in their travel to find a final destination in Mexico. But it's clear it's not. This is to get them to the U.S. border, to get them to cross into the United States illegally. And this is being put out by the United Nations. Leftist globalists within the United Nations being aided by International Rescue Committee. It's all connected. They claim to be compassionate, but they are causing what you see around us here. They're inviting more of this, along with the Democrats and the fake news media that is down here worrying about Border Patrol on horseback rather than the children that are being assaulted and the women that are being raped and the people that are being murdered along the way and the cartel enriching themselves. That's the reality of what's going on.
And to speak and elaborate a little bit further on some of these findings, I want to get into really how the media, I think, wrongfully targeted and obviously took pictures out of context when it comes to Border Patrol. But I have to break real quick as we are going to move in to our interview with Rep. Gosar. So sit tight. We'll be right back after this quick break. So as I was stating earlier, I'm sure many of you saw that viral image that the mainstream media was putting out in regards to Border Patrol appearing to, quote unquote, whip some of these Haitian migrants. But when you actually saw a different angle of that same photo, you realized that it was actually just reins on the horse that the Border Patrol agent was riding. And furthermore, from the angle that the camera is taking the shot of, you can see on the flip side, the Border Patrol agent is actually grabbing the migrant that's running away by the collar. So clearly we know that the media will only show you a certain perspective. We saw that same thing with Larry Elder when he was literally reaching out to touch a fan's face when he was running for governor of California. And then you had the media pretending like he was slapping a woman in the face, which was just completely bizarre. The woman actually came out to address the fake news media in regards to that terrible, terrible narrative that they were trying to push. But the point is, this is happening on a massive scale. And when you look at what's happening across the world and the history of something called a color revolution, the first thing that they try to do, especially here, is they are trying to divide people based on their race. They are trying to divide people based on their sex. They are trying to divide people based on their socioeconomic status and pretty much everything in between. And so they are using these organizations like BLM. They are using these organizations that are pushing this massive illegal immigration so that they can try to divide the American people. And for those who might not know what a color revolution is, it was the worldwide media term, color revolution, to describe various communism-related movements developing in several countries of the former Soviet Union, in the People's Republic of China, and in the Balkans during the 21st century. You guys really have to check into seeing what they are doing here in this country that's really, I think, replicating what they did in the rest of the world. And a lot of it did start with some of these more radical leftist student movements. And when you're seeing how that's actually correlating with what's happening in our own school system, how they are pushing critical race theory, you can see that this is definitely starting to look like a more and more orchestrated plan here that isn't just happening by accident. And so that is why you have parents literally going to the mat at some of these school boards saying, I don't agree with my child being taught that this is not the country that I grew up in. I want my children to focus on civics. I want my children to get a good education, but they are really increasingly realizing that they are infiltrating even the smallest levels of government, which, and this is why I always go back to say, all local politics matters, and it definitely influences everything on the national stage. So as we proceed forward into my interview with Representative Gosar, I want you to really ask yourself, why would they be pushing for open borders? What happens to a country when you get rid of a nation's borders? And for those who might not agree with me on this topic, I want you to really ask yourself why it is that you think that the media isn't talking about the sex trafficking, the drug running, everything that's correlated with this, and why it is that you have to literally show papers in places like New York for COVID vaccination or places like Los Angeles. But they're not asking that same type of identification at the polls, and they're not asking for it at the southern border. Don't you think that that's a little bit weird? You know, some results came out yesterday from the Arizona audit, and I think a lot of people, even though before the results were even fully out, and it literally ended up going to Attorney General of Arizona, and now the Arizona State Senate will have to vote on this, but I want to read you some of these findings, okay? The canvases showed over 3,400 more ballots were casted than recorded. Over 9,000 more mail-in ballots were received and recorded than the official number of mail-in ballots set out by the county. Precincts showed more ballots casted on election day than people who showed up to vote, 1,551 extra votes. Approximately 2,500 ballots were shown in the early vote return and do not have a voter listed in casting them. Over 255,000 early votes shown in the county's final vote file do not have a corresponding entry in the early voting return file. And over 23,000 voted by mail after moving after the October 5th cutoff. 2,382 votes casted votes in Maricopa County in person were after moving out of that county. And over 2,000 voters who had moved out of Arizona during the 29 days before the election were given a full ballot instead of a presidential-only ballot. And then close to 300 deceased voters potentially voted. You cannot see that evidence and not say that there was not something shady going on in Maricopa County. That should be grounds to decertifying that election result there. However, will they do it? We don't know. I'm not in the Arizona legislature, but I hope they do. Anyways, we're going to be taking a quick break. We will be back right after this with Representative Gosar, Arizona's 4th Congressional District Representative, and a man that you won't want to miss an interview with. Be right back. Thank you so much, Representative Gosar, for joining us today here on Luna Talks. I saw recently that you had a video that came out to really, I think, help Project Veritas in regards to HHS and the shady stuff that they were doing. Can you tell me your perspective on that entire situation?
Yes, Anna Paulina. We saw that Veritas video, and we were appalled. Because as with any medication, particularly a vaccine like this that hasn't gone through the full scope and background that it's been expedited, you want to be able to see the ramifications or the side effects that occur. And that what this video showed were the people at the doctors and nurses that were at the Phoenix Indian Medical Hospital not relaying that information. That is outright unbelievable. That's not occurring. That is something, number one, that has to be reported so that we understand the safety and efficacy, and if a drug or a vaccine needs to be pulled. Number two is it doesn't alert those people that do have those adverse reactions allowing them to actually engage with the ability to be compensated from a number of the compensation acts based upon the safety and efficacy of a vaccine. So, I mean, and detrimental, here's a minority class of people, the Native Americans, that they're abusing. That is absolutely intolerable.
So I'm actually hearing that, and I've been looking for representatives like you that have actually decided to look at this, not from a pro-vax or anti-vax standpoint, but from a common sense standpoint. And that's something that you're doing. Are there other representatives in Washington, D.C. that are as comfortable as you are addressing this issue? Or is that something that's still considered kind of taboo?
No. We're seeing a number of representatives, Anna Paulina, that, you know, the Doctors Caucus is one of those. You know, we have a number of members on that have come out very, you know, common aspect, not pro, not against, but more personal patient choice. So there's more and more of them coming out, particularly those like in the Freedom Caucus and others. So it's becoming much more mainstay. And we actually see that this is going to be the way of the future, that we're going to have to take this up as Congress, as members of Congress. You know, because we've been exempted from having to be forced to have vaccines, us and our staff. And that's not right. I mean, if we're given that luxury, we should be like no other person that we represent. We should be treated no differently. And so therefore, it should be a patient's choice.
I'm so glad you're saying that, because I know especially there's a lot of military members right now that are basically being threatened with dishonorable discharges. And it really should be up to the person to best decide what's best for their body, not the federal government. But you're seeing in places like California, in places like New York, now they're actually requiring documentation for this. They are literally asking for people's papers to prove vaccination. Yet at our southern border, we have thousands upon thousands of people pouring into this country, and they don't seem to care about that. You know, I recently came across some footage that I was able to play for some of our audience earlier from reporters that were down there and found documentation from the United Nations and outside organizations talking about how these people can access Mexico and essentially the United States. You're a representative in Arizona. I know that you probably deal with the issue with illegal immigration on a regular basis. What the heck is going on down there?
Well, we definitely know that there's outside groups that are helping out. I mean, how is it that we have Haitians and people from Africa that show up at our southern border in, of all places, Yuma, Arizona, way in Timbuktu 3, that are well-kept, they're well-fed, and, you know, how do they get there? They're making that long trek across there that takes airplane tickets and whatnot, and we're discovering that they have tickets that somebody's paying for to get them there. So, you know, is it the Open Society? Is it the Catholic Charities? What is it? And who are they that are actually helping these? We're not helping, you know, if you think you're helping people, you're not. Anybody that crosses that border has to have the permission of the cartels. And what we're facilitating is sex trafficking, human trafficking. These people that are victims never get to get out of that bondage. And so imagine this, that the American people, the American government, are actually now stalwarts and part of this drug trafficking, the linchpin of that aspect. We got to turn this back and tell this government there's no way in hell they got to do this, and they got to start upholding the rule of law. But this administration has gone haywire. They're bound and determined to take America from being great again to being America last and decrepit.
Yeah, you say that and I actually get chills, because I actually was on a segment with Bill O'Reilly. And like you said, even initially during these caravans that all of a sudden just so happened to show up at our southern border right before elections and basically was provided the narrative for the mainstream media to accuse Republicans and accuse conservatives of being quote unquote racist and xenophobic. You saw that they had these green bags, and on those green bags, it said the name of the sponsored organization that was paying for them to come here. So I think the more that representatives like you talk about it, the more that the American people talk about it, especially people that are minorities, because let's be honest, they are blanketly calling white Americans racist, and people that don't agree with them, like Larry Elder, he's apparently the face of white supremacy. So we have to fight back, and it starts with putting the truth out there, like exactly like you said. You know, my last question for you is, I was able to go through and follow some of the results of the audit from Arizona yesterday. A lot of people, again, are uncomfortable talking about this, but you see those results. This is not a tin hat theory. This is directly from Arizona, and it's shady. Can you tell me, as a representative in that area, what are the people of Arizona saying? What is the problem with Arizona, and how do we prevent some of those issues from happening in other states like Florida?
Well, I mean, what we saw yesterday, the county recorder, the board of supervisors, the election in Maricopa County was found out that they deleted and manipulated data. No ifs, buts about it. The numbers that were canvassed and the numbers that they counted really didn't change. But we don't know anything about what was actually legal ballots that were actually part of that. We found out from Dr. Shiva, one of the foremost authorities in there, that there were duplicates and triplicates and quadruplicates from individual people that were allowed to be certified with no signatures, some with signatures, some without signatures. So once again, here we got a problem. We were trying to glance over it. But when you bring this out to your listeners and to watchers, they need to go watch the movie Kill Chain, KILLCHAIN. If you haven't watched it, you need to do it. It's on HBO or YouTube, and it's made by the Democrats. They tell you all about the Dominion software and hardware and some of the things that occurred, what they claim to occurred in 2016, but they do it in 2020. We saw this in Arizona, in Maricopa County. They deleted data. They manipulated data, and particularly right at the election time to several days after, the propensity for this fraudulent activity increased by magnitudes of escalation.
So I guess my final question would be, because people know that that's happening, and I think regardless of what the mainstream media is doing, they can't fight everything on social media, and it's getting out there. How do we take back our country? I know lots riding on 2022, but from everything that you're saying, what can the American people do to help, and I'm going to say this, metaphorically fight back? Because if I don't specify it's metaphorically, they're going to say that I'm inciting violence. So,
oh, yeah. Unbelievable. No, the thing that we got to do is now we got to concentrate on states. Each state has got a sovereign entity, and we're going to have to work through our individual states to hold the federal government accountable. Your state with Governor DeSantis, a friend of mine, is doing a bang-up job. He's actually challenging the federal government. Same thing with your attorney general. We need more and more of that, and state legislatures that are not going to take it sitting down. In Arizona, the one thing I've stressed is that we need to find what happened with this election and hold people accountable. That's why I'm so glad that they referred a number of individuals and the data for criminal investigations by the attorney general. Now we need to hold people accountable for wrongdoing and for frauding the American people. Take back our communities one by one. Get engaged, explain. Don't be afraid to challenge, to question. That's the biggest key, is bring sunlight to these aspects. These progressives, these communists, as you'll call them, get their way when we don't challenge them, when we're afraid to challenge. This is our country. It's well worth fighting for. So now spend time talking to your neighbors, talk to your children, talk to your family, talk to those around you. We need to get this country back in line where it's America first, not America last.
Oh, you give me chills when you say that. We are on a knife's edge right now, and I do believe that we can stop it, but it's going to take every single person to get off your butt and get active. So God bless you. Thank you so much for joining my show today. I cannot wait to post this and really, I think, ignite some fires, because I know some people, you say voter integrity, and then it's like cockroaches with the light on, they scurry.
That's exactly right. That's a good way to look at it.
Well, thank you so much. God bless, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good, Anna Polina.
Before we go, I want to thank Congressman Paul Gosar again for such a great interview. And I want to thank you guys so much for listening. If you enjoyed today's show, please leave us a review and rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. To hear more of my episode and get my weekly newsletter, go to Gingrich360.com/Anna. You can also find me on Twitter, Parler, Facebook, and Instagram at RealAnnaPaulina. And a special thank you to producer Drew Steele, writer Aaron Kliegman, and executive producers Debbie Myers and speaker Newt Gingrich, part of the Gingrich 360 Network.